This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show. Let's do this Chris Herrington deal. Chris Herrington joins me now. Chris, what are you listening to?
20 Questions by Amy Rigby, favorite singer-songwriter of mine, in honor of Ja Morant's 20th place finish on the ESPN's NBA player rankings.
Yeah, I'll get to that in just a moment. The news yesterday was Scottie Pippen got a new deal. What'd you think?
That was expected. That had been expected for a while. Jay Huff had played so well in preseason that became something of a conversation about which way you go with that next spot. But I think it was always likely to be Pippen. I think it was set up to be that. I didn't think they were going to wait until the final moment, which would be like 2 weeks into the regular season. Might as well go ahead and do it. I don't think Pippen's been great in the preseason, but it's only been a few games. I think the on-ball defense is legit, and to be a backup point guard, I think he looks pretty good as someone who can be a backup point guard, and you get him on what's going to end up being like a 4-year deal, minimum salaries. All these deals like this have team options sort of on the back end, so it's a team-friendly contract, and it's just another case of them sort of building depth on these team-friendly contracts, which helps, helps balance out, the higher-end salaries they have at the other end.
Yeah, you tweeted among them with Edie, Vince, Gigi, Pippen, and Wells. That's the group, young depth, multi-season team-friendly deals. Any of those particularly stand out? I guess Vince is a great deal, right? I mean, it's and Pippen's a fine deal if he's good enough, right? I mean, if he can do the job, and I guess we're assuming he can.
Yeah, if he can, it's a minimum. It's basically going to be a minimum contract, and the back end of it's not going to be fully guaranteed. And so not a lot of risk there. There's more upside with those kind of contracts than downside. For every one you hit, it's worth like two or three that you miss on in terms of those kind of deals. Yeah, you've ended up cutting bait. And some of these are questionable on the front end. Like, you gave this kind of deal to Kennedy Chandler before he'd ever played a game. I think it's better to these situations they've had with Vince and Gigi and now Scottie Pippen, where you see them for a little while before you give them this kind of contract. I think the returns on that are way better than the returns on the speculative contract on the front end with some of these guys. But even if some of these don't work out, the positive value of having a good fifth, sixth, seventh player in the rotation for $2 million right, way outweighs the negative value of having $2 million into a player who's not helping you, And so I think it's a smart way to proceed with some of this stuff.
So the Jalen Wells swing, obviously they hadn't seen him before, but it's a reasonable swing and a reasonable cheap contract to have. Okay, I wanted to get to the top 50. ESPN has now released their top 50. And before I get to Ja at 20, took a big leap given that he didn't see a lot of them last year. Lists are lists. But we were talking about Jaren, who was in the low 50s. And now that we have the top 50 out, we realize that Jaren ranked behind Julius Randle at 48, behind Mobley and Porzingis at 47 and 46, behind DeMar DeRozan at 45, among others. As you said yesterday, I don't think there's a GM in the league that would take him, that would take DeMar DeRozan or Julius Randle ahead of Jaren Jackson Jr.
Yeah, I don't know like what the process is and all that stuff. The Ringer put out their version of it today, and they've got Jaren and Desmond Bane both in the 40s. They've got Ja a little bit further back at like 24. They've got Marcus Smart in the 90s in the list, but a little bit further back. And so, like, basically what I was saying yesterday about, you know, Bane and Jaren seems to me should be a little bit higher. Maybe it was a little aggressive on Smart. Like, the Ringer list looks more like what I was suggesting yesterday. So maybe I think that's a little bit better list. But also in a few days, they're going to start playing basketball games. And then, like, if Jaren takes a jump shot with Julius Randle guarding him, it's not going to matter that Julius Randle is ahead of him on the list. It's not going to have no bearing on whether the shot goes in or not. And so, like, the outcomes will be the outcomes when you play actual basketball.
Ja at 20. We got a few more days until those games commence, Chris. So Ja at 20, up from 35. I thought that was a reasonable, and maybe generous ranking for Ja. But it is interesting. Like, so you got Maxey at 19, just in terms of similar players. You got Donovan Mitchell at 17. You got Tyrese Halliburton at 16. I mean, obviously, Donovan Mitchell has done a lot more. But in terms of the other two, Tyrese Maxey or Tyrese Halliburton, I'll give you any of the three to be on your to start your team with. Who you taking?
I mean, it sort of depends a little bit on what your team is going to be like. I do think Ja is a greater magnitude of pure talent, but Ja has durability questions beyond some of those guys. He also has shooting questions. I mean, Tyrese Maxey was a flamethrower in the playoffs.
Yeah,
Tyrese Halliburton was on a team that got to the conference finals. I think they had a lot of help to get there, but still, you know, sometimes you need help. And they got there. And so I don't want to, like, just be the homer and dismiss the idea that some reasonable person might take Tyrese Halliburton or Tyrese Maxey over Ja Morant. I think there's a cohort of all-star level lead guard types. I think those three players, Jalen Brunson, De'Aaron Fox, Donovan Mitchell, Devin Booker's a slightly different kind of player, but only slightly. All those players are sort of in a mix together, and that's who you're competing with, you know, for your stature in the league. And John Brandt's Nike campaign will not earn him a spot above those guys in real basketball. So he's thinking about do it.
It is interesting. Once you get, we haven't gotten the top 10 yet. It almost feels like you get to 15, it gets to be a pretty gold plated group. You know, 15 is Booker and then Jaylen Brown and then Anthony Davis and then Jalen Brunson and then Wembanyama. I mean, it feels like a lot of the stuff you could have, they could be at 42 or they could be at 28, right? But that's a pretty gold-plated group there. What do you think about Wembanyama at 11?
I mean, his talent is clearly top five talent. His production as a rookie was top 20 production, so that kind of splits the difference there. They're trying to project where he's going to be his second season in the league. I mean, it's hard to say. And another aspect of all this is how many games are guys going to play, and to what degree do you factor that in? I remember the Ringer list a little bit better because I looked at it this morning. But they had Shai Gilgeous-Alexander one spot ahead of Joel Embiid. Well, I think that's fair when you consider the totality of what you expect to get from them this season. I think Joel Embiid, the best version of him, is a better player. But how many games is he going to play? Maybe he's too high. Maybe a fifth or sixth or whatever, that's too high for him if he's only going to play 40 games. And so to what degree is that kind of stuff factored into it?
Well, take Kawhi. There's another perfect example of that.
Kawhi, that's someone I would have lower on these lists just because I understand, like, on any given night, if he's healthy, he's better than, like, almost anybody. But I'm trying to think of the season to come, not one game, you know?
Yeah, Kawhi in a vintage Kawhi, vintage healthy Kawhi, you could say top five player in the league. But you know, where you'd actually take him, you know,
right.
In somewhere 20 or below. Who are, by the way, I don't know, did the Ringer go all the way up to one already or not? Who do you think?
Yeah, they just dumped it all out.
They dumped it all. Okay, who are who do you believe are the top five players in the NBA? Not in any order. Yeah.
I think Jokic is still the best player in the league. I think Giannis and Luka are definitely on the list. So those three to me are like locks for top five players in the league.
Yep.
And then that's where you get into the questions of, like, you know, any given night versus a whole season. I think from a whole season standpoint, I think it probably is Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. And it's sort of hard to put Embiid. I think the next two guys are Shai and Embiid. Shai, if you're considering 82 games, and Embiid, if you're considering the game you're playing tonight. And so there's two different answers to that question once you get past the top three guys, and those are the two different answers, I think.
And what do you do with Steph and LeBron?
It gets into the other question about, you know, they're sort of in between a little bit, in between the two questions a little bit. I think any given night, I might take either of those guys over SGA. I think over the course of this full season, I think either of those guys over Embiid. So they're sort of like the runner-up on both questions a little bit. And maybe that balance that out. And maybe, I mean, I would have to quarrel with those guys as the answer to that. I think there's a clear top three. I think Wimby is on a crash course for that top five list, but he's not there yet. And so, there's only three guys who I would pound the table and say these guys are top five players in the league, and it's not debatable. And that's Nikola Jokic, Giannis Antetokounmpo, and Luka Doncic.
All right, you got a couple pieces up about film happenings. One is Indy Memphis. What has happened with Indy Memphis? They've released the lineup.
Yeah, they haven't put out the full schedule, but they put out, you know, the basic movies that they're going to be showing at the festival, which is happening in about a month. It's in mid November, and the centerpiece film. A lot of what they're putting out is promising, but sort of obscure. You know, stuff that's been at other like festivals around the country. But the centerpiece film is a movie getting a lot of buzz, and that's The Nickel Boys, which is adaptation of a Colson Whitehead novel that won the Pulitzer a few years ago. And it's about two black teenagers at a sort of reform school, basically. And it's shot in a way that's apparently shot entirely in first person, so it's a little bit of a I don't know if experimental is the right word, but it's a little bit of a sort of an ambitious movie in terms of the way it's been shot. But of critics who've gotten an early look at it, it's gotten some pretty rapturous early notices, and that will be the centerpiece film.
Explain to me how film festivals work. So when you have a film festival, some of the films will be shown for the first time at that film festival, but others are somewhere in the film festival circuit and show it pop up at multiple film festivals.
Yeah, a lot of stuff, like, you know, not you know, Spider-Man 5 or whatever,
right,
but
yeah.
A lot of stuff will like, you know, debut. If you're talking about big movies, big, like, you know, quote unquote so-called art movies or whatever, they'll debut at like major film festivals. So you'll debut at Cannes, or you'll debut at the Toronto Film Festival or the New York Film Festival or stuff like that, to basically get some buzz and to be seen and then ahead of what will be a theatrical release, maybe a few months down the line. In some cases, movies are sort of, you know, independently financed, and they debut at those festivals, and then studios buy them at the festival. So there's a little bit of, there could be a market that way. That happens at Sundance a lot, where movies will debut, and then film studios will bid on the movies to purchase them and then release them theatrically. When you get into smaller film festivals like in Indy Memphis, typically you're getting stuff that has been making the rounds at festivals, and it's coming down to you. If you're getting debuts, it's more regional kind of stuff.
I gotcha. And then these will ultimately find commercial homes, maybe streaming somewhere. Is that what tends to be? That's the hope.
Nickel Boys is going to get a major release like in December, yes. I think. So it'll debut in Memphis at this festival, and then you'll see the Malco like, you know, a month later or what have you. Most of the stuff will be, most of the movies shown in Indy Memphis will not later get a theatrical release in Memphis. Nickel Boys will, but it'll be one of the few that does. So for most of these movies, the only chance to see them on the big screen in Memphis will be at the Indy Memphis Film Festival. And then some of them will pop up on streaming services later, and some of them may never pop up anywhere later. It just depends.
All right. In terms of big screens, what's happening this week?
There's a new movie that's coming out on Friday called We Live in Time, and it's sort of a romance drama, romantic drama, starring Florence Pugh and Andrew Garfield. It's directed by this guy, John Crowley, who about 10 years ago did this movie Brooklyn that was really, really good, starred Saoirse Ronan. And this is in a somewhat similar vein, and it's sort of like an adult romance kind of movie, but this is a contemporary setting. It happens over 10 years. It's a British romantic drama. It's supposed to be very good. I mean, I haven't seen it. We don't get to see advances of these movies anymore, but it's gotten really good reviews, and it seems like the kind of thing that, you know, you don't, it's harder to come by these days. The theatrical world has gotten more towards action and sequels and that kind of stuff. And then binge TV is more plot driven these days, where it's more about, you know, trying to figure out the plot and what's going to happen in the next episode and all that. And the self-contained, like, you know, entertaining drama for grownups is harder and harder to come by. And this seems like it might be a pretty good one.
We do have some anniversary releases, et cetera. I saw that Saw, you wrote in your roundup that Saw is celebrating its 20th anniversary. You haven't seen Saw, have you?
I've seen Saw, but I haven't seen any of the of the endless sequels. I've only seen the original.
I hate to even ask, given the name, what happens in Saw?
It's confusing. It's like a gimmicky horror thing where it's like, you know, this diabolical criminal who's devising, like, you know, creative ways to kill people. And the premise is like a guy wakes up. He's been drugged or whatever. And he just wakes up. Oh. And when he wakes up, he's in a bathroom chained to a tub, and there's another guy chained to the wall. And it goes from there. It's definitely not something for you.
Definitely not something for me. Three things that could be for me, all being screened in Memphis this weekend: A Young Frankenstein, Rocky Horror, and Back to the Future 2. It's 35th anniversary of Back to the Future 2. You're a fan of Young Frankenstein?
Yeah, I don't think you was a Rocky Horror guy, but I mean, you do you. If you want to dress up as Dr. Frankenfurter and, like, you know, go sing along.
It was big when I was in college, and I guess it continues. You're a Young Frankenstein fan?
Yeah, I mean, Mel Brooks is funny. You know, Mel Brooks is funny. Young Frankenstein, one of his better films, you know, sort of a spoof on the universal horror, black and white horror movies of, like, you know, the 20s and 30s. In this case, obviously, the Frankenstein story. With Gene Wilder and Peter Boyle as the monster, Madeline Kahn, Terry Garr. Lots of fun stuff in that one if you have not seen it.
It's at Crosstown. Thank you, Chris. Appreciate it.
Yeah. Thanks.
Chris Harrington from the Daily Memphian. Have you seen Saw?
I have. It's been a very long time, though, but yes.
And that, did he nail the plot?
He pretty much 100% nailed the plot.
They're chained to a bathtub.
Yeah,
and a guy has, let me guess, a saw?
No, that's...
Doesn't have a saw.
I mean, it can be involved.
That's kind of shocking.
That develops. But the plot is that everyone's there for a reason. Everyone is chained to something there for a reason. And
does it have to do with their own some bad thing they did in their past?
I'd say personal misdeeds.
Really?
Yes.
I don't understand it at all. I don't understand. There are people who just love horror. There are people who just love horror. What is it? What's that thing?
I think it's kind of like an adrenaline. I think there's something along those lines. I mean, I know Phil Mickelson used to always claim if you took a woman to a horror movie, it's like it increases your chances of her being into you. That was always a Phil Mickelson theory. That gives you some insight into Phil.
All right. Phil also liked to gamble a little bit. You can gamble over at FanDuel, America's number one sports book. Right now, new customers, bet $5, get $300 in bonus bets if you win. We got the Sean Payton Bowl Thursday night. Broncos at Saints. Boy, things have turned badly for the Saints, haven't they? That did not go well. Started out with such promise.
Yeah, it might have just been the Panthers are the Panthers, and then maybe the Cowboys stink.
It's possible the Cowboys stink. Put together your own same game parlay. Alvin Kamara over rushing yards. Bo Nix over 1.5 passing touchdowns. Rashid Shaheed over receiving yards. It's the Broncos and the Saints. It's Thursday, and at FanDuel, bet $5 if you're a new customer. Get $300 in bonus bets if you win. Just go to FanDuel.com/Calkins. That's the promo code, C-A-L-K-I-N-S, C-A-L-K-I-N-S, to make every moment more this season. Must be 21 or older and present Tennessee. First online real money wager, only $5 deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call Tennessee Redline 1-800-889-9789. Sam Hardiman, when we return, about the city of Memphis. We'll talk to him about what's going on. We'll do that next. 92.9 FM ESPN.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real, we're transparent, we're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show. Joined now by Sam Hardiman of the Daily Memphian. Covers the city. Also happens to be a New England Patriots fan. Sam, do you believe the Pats have found their quarterback of the future?
No.
Do you firmly not believe it, or are you just, is the jury out? The
jury's out. Let me be clear. The jury's out. Like, one, encouraging Drake May start does not a franchise quarterback make. And, like, look, like, even if Drake May is the franchise quarterback, they still have no offensive line, right? Like, he's still a walking pinata back there. So, like, I'm not really, like, here for like I'm ready. Like, I'm ready. I'm hopeful, Jeff. I don't want to like sound negative, but I'm just like, okay, maybe this is the guy, but we still got to get him some help, and that could take a while.
Clearly need help, but the nice thing is that I thought last week was ideal. He looked great or promising, and you lost the game. That's the whole point. You know, just there's some fine offensive linemen coming out this year. And so you look at it. In fact, I saw a mock draft went up today, and I think they had like three offensive linemen in the first 10. So,
Exactly. Yeah. Just keep losing. Just like, don't let the guy break a bone, like a serious bone, like a wrist. Like, I'm not refreshing anything. Like, a wrist is possible here, but like, let's not have like ACL. Like, let's not have any ligaments torn.
Right. No shoulder, like, no throwing shoulder stuff, whatever else. All right. Hey, today is, I didn't know this till I read the Daily Memphian. Today we begin early voting And I saw in Bill Dries' story, I was astonished. Fully 78, 4 years ago, fully 78.6% of votes cast were cast early. Kind of amazing. In addition to the presidential race, which, of course, we know is on the ballot, there are, and you wrote about this, three ballot questions that could change Memphis politics. Can I go over these very briefly with you? The runoff. Yeah. What's the story with the runoff? We didn't have a runoff last time, right? We had Paul Young winning with like not many votes.
Yeah, with 28% of the vote, not very many votes, exactly. Did not get elected with the mandate. So back in the day, Memphis used to have runoffs. And then they were essentially tossed in federal court because they were found to dilute the black vote. And so they went away. And now the Memphis City Council, after last year's very competitive mayoral race where we saw four candidates get more than 20% of the vote and the winner got 28% of the vote, voted to put to the voters the idea that there could be a mayoral runoff. And so if voters vote on Election Day, and really right now, you know, a full 60%+ of them will probably vote by the time November 5th comes around. If voters vote, we can maybe potentially have runoffs back on the agenda, which means that when Mayor Young, he's likely to run for re-election in 2027, he would have to get 50%+1.
Okay. By the way, are there people on these referenda? Is there someone campaigning for and against that? Is there?
It doesn't appear to be. Like I certainly like there may be some secret little like not secret, but like right, some right. You know mailer going around that I'm not aware of. Like I don't want to say no one is campaigning for them, but typically what happens is the city council puts these things on the ballot. And then just says, hey, voters, scroll all the way to down and go find them. Right. There typically isn't a lot of, like, get out the vote efforts for these referendum.
Right. Okay. Next one is city council could set salaries for the mayor, city council, chief administrative officer, appointed directors, deputy director. Who sets them now?
The city council technically has control over the mayor's salary before the term, and they have control over the directors of different departments. What the city council does not have control over is their own salaries right now. They have no control over what the salaries are. They are instead just entirely indexed to what the Shelby County Commission pays themselves. That is how their salaries are set. And so they are asking voters to give them the authority to set their own salaries.
All right, and the third one is residency requirement for who?
The mayor and city council candidates. If you remember last year, people listeners of the show may remember, last year there was a big old fight over whether two mayoral candidates, two of whom, Floyd Bonner and Van Turner, who received more than 20% of the vote when it was all said and done, if they had lived in Memphis long enough to stand for mayor. And what was found was that a Shelby County Chancellor said the city of Memphis did not have a 5-year residency requirement that others believed it did, and that there was no residency requirement for mayor, effectively keeping those two candidates and others in the race. So now the city council, after that debacle last year, there was a lot of reaction to the 2023 Memphis municipal races that is now on the ballot this year. And this is another reaction to it. And essentially, yeah, the voters will get to decide whether or not you want your candidates to be bona fide residents of Memphis for 2 years.
All right. Early voting starts today. You can consult the Daily Memphian and see there's a link to what sites are open when and all of that stuff. So early voting does begin today. All right. We had drama, Sam. I was heading. Maybe I was coming out of yoga. When I got a text from you Friday, which was Yom Kippur, and for whatever reason, the news broke then that Paul Young had decided to replace the entire board of MATA, the transportation folks. Had you embarked on a fast at that point? Were you like, this is the quintessential news dump, is it not?
It was a very quintessential news dump that I, like, became aware of around 4 p.m. The news broke. We broke the news of the Daily Memphi at about 5:30 that the mayor had replaced the entire MATA board. About 5:30 p.m. Friday, sundown. Yom Kippur began at sundown on Friday, which is 6:30 p.m. And so I learned that this news dump was occurring roughly around 4 p.m., maybe 4 or 5, 4:15. And so I was frantically typing up a news. And then at the same time, like, I always, like, as a Jewish man who fasts, I always kind of take it to the wire. Like, I look at sunset because it's a sundown to sundown holiday. Like, I look at sundown, and if it's, like, 6:29, I'm eating until 6:27.
Do you eat a large pizza? Like, do you try to get as much in to last you for the next day or no? What's the strategy?
Previously, I would do that. Like, when I was younger, I would just, like, house, like, when I was living by myself, and I would just, like, house a Domino's because, A, it was cheap. But, yeah, that was my plan. This time, like, I, like, literally, like, we published the story. I think I, like, maybe said something not nice about Yom Kippur in text to you, but we won't go into it exactly.
We won't
what
say
I said.
That. We won't say I don't think Sandy Koufax. I don't think Sandy Koufax said that when he didn't pitch on Yom Kippur.
He did it. He is a better man than me. Great pitcher. Shout out Sandy Koufax. Definitely, as long as he's in the Hall of Fame. Anyway, and then I went to Modesta Grill, and this is not, like, sponsored or anything. I literally, because I live nearby it, I just sat down at the bar at Majestic Grill and just, like, ordered immediately upon receiving the menu and did not finish my burger, however. And so, like, that was how I broke the fast the next night, was, like, finishing that burger.
Wait, you ate the burger up to sundown and then you stopped as soon as, like, buzzer goes?
Yeah, I got the burger at, like, 6:19, and I had about 10 minutes. So I had, like, 3 or 4 bites, and then I just put it away.
Well, the Majestic is a great place. They'll serve you quickly. It's a beautiful restaurant. Food's delicious. It's a Memphis institution. I recommend, if you're preparing for a fast or breaking a fast, that you do it with delicious food from the Majestic. Anyway, why did he sack the board? And why did he sack the board? And who, 9 people, is that right? And then he's replaced him with 9 others.
Yeah, he sacked the board. The mayor said, it was a telling quote this week. He had a gaggle with the media on Monday, and I asked him, when did you actually make this decision? And he said 2 weeks ago. But essentially, the mayor sacked the board upon receipt of a draft report from a consultant called Transpro. And that report was scathing towards the Memphis Area Transit Authority and its board. Essentially said the board had not acted as a proper check financially on the executive leadership, and the executive leadership had used, money. Not, there's no accusing of criminal wrongdoing here, but essentially the stewardship of the bus system had, you know, caused it not to function well, that a lot of times buses weren't showing up. It, you know, essentially, MATA was operating at 75% capacity of what it should be, and that the board had given far too much contracting authority to the MATA leadership. And so that was a scathing report. And so essentially he called it a clean slate. And what people should read into this is, you know, the mayor don't play. Like, he has sort of made, in rapid succession here, he's bought the city a hotel. They haven't officially bought it yet, but he's gotten permission to buy the city hotel. And then he's just essentially moved to overhaul Memphis Transit that has decayed over several decades.
Is this... I mean, it's interesting. I saw one of the board members, the sacked board members, sort of agreed with the decision, was not kicking and screaming or anything. Were they offended? Like, were they offended? And does he have he just has the power to do this? He can sack him or replace him? It's a unilateral decision that he can make?
On the first, I can't speak for all of them, but it certainly seems that some were not incredibly upset. On second, the mayor has that authority. You know, the city council, as I understand it, maybe had some other questions about that legal authority that were potentially discussed yesterday in an attorney-client meeting. I can't confirm that, but that's what I have understood, that there was maybe some discussion of it in a closed attorney-client meeting, which can happen, under the public records law. But I have some understanding of that, and I think that it's certainly interesting. Yeah, the mayor on his face can, but I would like to see a little more legalese before I say definitively that he can.
Well, we'll hope for better things, better performance from MATA. And then in terms of the hotel, when do we own it?
It's still the bonds need to be actually sold, and so that's a little ways away. But we will own the hotel soon. We the taxpayer.
All right, Sam. Thank you very much. Appreciate it as always. On Twitter or X at Sam Hardiman. Two questions, Jeffrey. One is, do you believe in Drake May?
I thought he looked pretty good, actually. I think he's definitely going to fall into the category, though, of what are you going to put around him? And is he going to be set up for success? Unclear to me. Their roster's very bad. But, like, if you're comparing to bad rosters, he did way more with what they have than, like, what Bryce Young did a bad roster.
He did more than what Jacoby Brissett was doing with a bad roster, right?
I mean, he clearly looks better.
Right now, it appears, you can argue Jaden Daniels should have gone first, right?
You can. I
think it's premature.
Yeah. I mean, my thing is Daniels.
Caleb is obviously finding his way now. You know, he's had a couple of
Caleb's looked much better.
Much better. So, whatever. They look like 1 and 2, right? And then it kind of looks like Dre May should have gone third ahead of Bo Nix from what we've seen.
Yeah. I mean, one person I definitely don't believe in is Bo Nix.
And then J.J. McCarthy sort of in between there, right?
Correct.
J.J. McCarthy went before Bo Nix. So that was the order, right? It went.
So
it Penix, was Caleb.
So it goes.
Oh, yeah, Penix. We have not seen anything. We've got nothing on Penix.
All we saw was some preseason from Penix, and he looked fine. I think we got the order correct.
It feels like right now.
It
probably won't be correct. Like, in the end, you're not going to get all five in exactly the right order. But right now, looks kind of right.
Well, the reason why I say that with Drake May, if Drake May would have gotten drafted by the Vikings, I'd have way more confidence.
Right. It is the 47th anniversary for Robert Irwin Jewelers, spectacular jewelry store. And I just want to stop and say that that's cool. 47 years in Memphis. Folks originally from New York City came down here, were doing business here, and decided, you know what, this is the place to be. And they built a... They've built a tradition here. They've built a tremendous multiple jewelry stores across the Memphis area and another in Little Rock. And that because they do a great job. Honestly, they're just a delight to deal with, Howie and the folks at Robert Irwin Jewelers. And during the 47th anniversary sale, you can save on engagement rings, wedding bands, diamond earrings, diamond pendants, gemstone jewelry, gold chains, bracelets, all of it. So head on over and take advantage of the savings at Robert Irwin Jewelers, particularly as the holidays are bearing down upon us. But also, it's nice to buy from a place that has that deep a tradition of being here in Memphis. You know they treat people right, or they wouldn't have lasted for 47 years. It's why they do things like the Meant to Be Guarantee, where you buy your loose diamond custom-made engagement ring from Robert Irwin Jewelers and have 365 days to return it. That gives you peace of mind while you are embarked on one of the biggest, most important, and emotional purchases of your life. It's the 47th anniversary sale at Robert Irwin Jewelers. Bigger, brighter diamonds, better prices, locations in Memphis and Little Rock, or online at rijewelers.com. Back in a moment, Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN. Over at FanDuel, new customers, bet $5, win. Get $300 in bonus bets. That's right. A mere $5 bet gets you $300 in bonus bets if you're a new customer and you win. Thursday night, how do you feel about Broncos and Saints? Not bad. Not bad. Not inspired, though. These are neither of the teams that you said is just dreadful to watch, right?
Well, the Broncos can be. The Saints are not. The Saints play fun games.
Spencer Rattler again?
I presume so. And Rattler,
he was okay.
He was fine. Like, especially considering first start.
Yeah, he was okay. You can spice it up with a same game parlay. That'll do it. Spice it up with a same game parlay. And all you have to do is go to FanDuel.com/Calkins, C-A-L-K-I-N-S, C-A-L-K-I-N-S. That's the promo code to make every moment more this season. FanDuel is, of course, official sportsbook partner of the NFL. It's safe, it's secure, and you get your money fast. Must be 21 or older, present Tennessee. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem, call Tennessee Redline 1-800-889-9789. 800-919-3789. Jeffrey, I was at the forum last night, and they give you a voucher for food. They didn't have a dining, media dining. They give you a voucher, and I walked up, and I got the chicken fingers and fries. It was $14.75 or something like that, whatever. Yeah, honestly, I kind of regretted it later. It was a lot of fried food. It was just a lot of really very fried food. As you walk around and you look at the prices, you think, oh, my goodness, this is very expensive. I can't eat here very often, right? And yet, I got good news, people. And the good news is, well, tell them, Jeffrey.
Jeff, according to bookies.com.
And who wouldn't trust
right, bookies.com? Right, of course. I don't even know. I don't know how you could even consider.
That's like gold. That's the gold standard right there in reports.
Correct. Bookies.com has calculated the cost of attending NBA games at each arena for the 24-25 season. On average, families will spend $320.31.
This is a family of four?
Correct. On the four of the cheapest available tickets, parking, two beers, two sodas, and four hot dogs at an NBA arena
this winter. Two beers, two sodas, four hot dogs. There's no fries, no chips, no anything else. Two beers, two sodas, parking, and four tickets up in the upper rafters.
Correct. The cheapest tickets you can
cost you how much?
It will cost a family of four. Where did my email go? $158.51. That is the most affordable in the NBA.
That's for the Grizzlies.
Correct.
But what was the average?
The NBA average was $320.31. The Grizzlies are the cheapest or most affordable. Now,
How much is that? $150?
$158.51. It should also be noted, the Grizzlies have, you can get the cheapest ticket in the NBA, but when you start to do the average ticket of the NBA from the latest data, the Grizzlies' bad seats are very cheap, but the Grizzlies' average ticket ends up getting, it's like middle of the pack. It's like 15. Yeah.
That stands to reason.
Yeah.
Because let's be honest.
So many seats up top.
The Grizzlies have too many bad seats.
Correct.
And they have a problem filling the bad seats. And so what they've done is they're like, we're going to price these. We got to move them. You know, better to sell them for a reasonable price than have them empty. And so those prices are incredibly affordable. But if you want to sit in a good seat, then it's more middle of the pack.
Correct.
That makes sense. So let me ask you this. Do you have a ranking?
I do.
Okay. I'm going to guess the most expensive. The only question is the most expensive? I'm talking my way through it. Is it the Lakers or is it the Knicks? And I'm going to say, God, the most expensive is the Lakers.
You are indeed correct.
Lakers. How much the family of four?
$728.36.
Holy crap.
The key difference, because they're pretty similar.
Yeah.
The key difference is Lakers parking is more expensive, which surprised me because.
Who parks in New York?
Right.
Nobody parks in New York. I think
they'd have less parking.
They'd have even less parking. That's a little shocking to me. So then the interesting question is who would be number three? And here you could go with, could be Chicago, could be Miami. You just look at places that are with a lot of rich people, right?
Yep.
It would be Chicago and congestion. Chicago has more congestion, although the it's not right downtown. The arena's not right downtown. Miami, I haven't been to the new arena. Could be the Nets. Back in the big market.
I think you're missing two real big ones. I'll tell you this. You're sniffing around.
I'm sniffing around.
Yeah. Like as in you're on the right path, but you are missing
Celtics.
Yes.
Celtics are going to be very high.
Uh-huh.
And who else? Who's the other one?
Come on. You've nailed out all the criteria. Expensive city.
I mean, is Philly expensive? No. Is
Golden State moving to San Francisco?
Oh God, yes. Of course.
So you were sniffing around.
They're three.
Yes.
They're three.
Boston four, Clippers five, Bulls six, Heat seven.
Wait, I'm sorry. Who was Three? Who was three?
Three is the Warriors.
Yeah.
Four was the Celtics. Five was the Clippers. Six was the Bulls. Seven was the Heat.
All right, let's go up from the other way. The other direction, it's going to be in New Orleans, probably.
There's one in between the Grizzlies and New Orleans.
New Orleans.
It kind of surprised me.
Utah.
Nope.
OKC.
They are two.
Detroit.
Nope.
Detroit, just because who wants to go, right? Sacramento.
Nope.
I'm just thinking small markets here. Portland. No, it can't be Portland.
This one surprised me. It's the Rockets.
Really?
Yep.
I wouldn't have guessed that. I would have thought Rockets would have been thoroughly
Rockets
middle of
the pack. Cheap parking, apparently.
So it's Texas is big.
Yep.
So you've got Grizzlies cheapest, then Rockets, then New Orleans?
Yes. Grizzlies, Rockets, New Orleans, Portland for your bad team theory, OKC, Charlotte, Cleveland, Indiana, Utah, Milwaukee.
Well, there you go. So you may sit there and think to myself, oh, gosh, the Grizzlies are charging an arm and a leg. They are the most affordable.
I also think our concessions are going down this year, which
this, by the way, is why, and I know people like don't want to hear it, but it's why when people talk about this new arena or the new refurbished arena, and are the Grizzlies going to chip in, you know, $200 million or something like that, I really think the Grizzlies believe that one of their contributions is being in Memphis. You know what I mean? Like, look at the revenue here. Just look at the revenue here compared to the revenue in other places. And you're like, we don't make close to the money that our competitors make. And we got to pay the same salaries that our competitors pay. We don't have the extra. Of course, Robert Parra does. But we don't have the extra $300 million kicking around just to throw in. I think that's pretty clearly, you know, and I don't think they're wrong. That team would be worth a lot more somewhere else and could charge a lot more somewhere else. So it may feel pricey when you're there. Now you just got to realize you're getting a bargain. Jeffrey, what's coming up next on 92.9?
Jeff, here's what's coming next on Jason and John. Of course, it's Wednesday, so that means Norton Hurd will join the guys today. Also on Jeffrey Wright and Company, Kevin Cerrito is my company today, CJ Hurt, and we have a contract signing for 901 Wrestling, fulfilling a lifelong dream. Being involved in a contract signing. Can't wait for that. It's Wednesday, so that means Cobb will join Gabe at 5 o'clock.
Thanks for listening, everybody. We will be back tomorrow for Now Work Is Done.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.